Blog Talk Radio.
Experience the phenomenon critics can't keep quiet about. Rolling Stone calls A Quiet Place dazzling, a triumph. See it with a crown. It's a new classic. A Quiet Place, rated PG-13.
Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes I go right when the right way was left. Don't draw inside line because the scribbles look so sad.
Up in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the Almighty, All-Wise, True and Living God, Allah, who has come to us this day and granted us a divine mercy and reminder in the person of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad, and we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names with love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. 1-800-633-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com and also formerly SalaamJournal.com and SalaamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, let me say to you all, I love you. Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth and beyond. This is the true platform for black liberation and black empowerment. This is your platform, the Star and Crescent Report. And our show today is titled, America Has Embraced Her Dreaded Destiny, and the clock is ticking. But before we go into the show, I'd like to say the show is brought to you by Brother Gerald, Brother Macau, myself, my wife, my mother, Brother Rashid, Brother Amir, and a few others that slipped my mind. I had to listen, but I just came back from martial arts class, so I don't have it on me, so I'm going off the top of my head. For those of you who donated a couple of dollars charges to my head and not to my heart, I did not forget you. And I also want to give a shout-out to my oldest daughter. Yesterday or day before yesterday, she passed line one in Nabard martial arts. She goes to line two. And when she becomes a line three student, she becomes an instructor, and she's only 11 years old. She has been put into the advanced striking class, following in her father's footsteps. All praise is due to Allah. And Kalima, I'm proud of you. You did the technique, and you did your strikes. 96 strikes in 10 seconds. Well, I'm telling you, 96 strikes and combinations in 10 seconds. My daughter is awesome. All praise is due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. I just had to get that out there. All praise is due to Allah for the honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, let's go to our show at hand. America has embraced her dreaded destiny, and the clock is ticking. Now, brothers and sisters, as the show was coming on, something came to me. I want to go into this stuff about Russia and China and the Middle East and what was going on and the situation when Russia threatened to bomb America back and did not take those steps. I want to address a lot of that. Well, those of you like Mikhail and Razik and Brother Omar and Brother Rashid and Brother Gerald, who have a live feed with me behind closed doors, they got the gist of these things before they happened. Actually, I was giving them live feeds from my sources before this stuff was happening, was taking place, okay? And I have some more stuff that I'm going to try to share with them in the coming day or two. But I want to go to Our Savior Has Arrived. I read this. This is the beginning. This is chapter 1. It came to me right as the intro came on. And the chapter of this is titled, The Black Man Must Know the Truth. So I'm going to, before I go into the situation at hand with Russia and China and America and Syria and Britain and France, I just want to satisfy your minds for a second. I want you to understand, because sometimes we get so into these events that are taking place, and when they don't happen or go down like we expect, Russia was thumping her chest and she didn't do what we thought she would do. I'm going to explain that, and I'm going to show you what was done behind closed doors, okay? And how it pertains to you and I. But I want to satisfy your mind and give you something to be calm about, okay? Because these things happen when Allah wills them to happen, okay? And Russia is very cognizant of the fact that whenever they do tango, this will mark the complete end and fall of the white world. Yes, she's tired of America. Yes, she's tired of this foolishness that is going on, but she understands the gravity of what is going on and what will take place when these two, Gog and Magog, lock horns and sally forth. But this chapter is very important. And you don't have the proper mental makeup. Understand? So in this, number one, Muhammad says, to know the truth of the presence of the God of truth, and that his presence is the salvation of the lost and found people of America, is to know your life and its happiness. Now stop right there. Whether Russia bombs America, retaliates with America or not, that is not where your happiness lies. Whether Syria knocked 71 missiles out of the sky or China dropped all of America's debt holdings, that is not still your salvation. That is not your happiness. That is not your security. These are just small events that take place in a scale of a larger war called Armageddon. And they will take place in due time on the will and the order of the divine supreme being. Now, knowing that God is here in person and no longer to come, and knowing that God is executing the will that he had proclaimed through the mouths of his prophets, his apostles, and his messengers, especially the last and the greatest of the messengers of God, is something that should keep you whole, keep you sane, and keep you rooted to what is promised to you. You got to see past the fog, through the fog, because there's brighter days ahead. And all of these things that you see taking place is for the benefit of the black man and woman in America and the black nation around the globe. It is to free you indeed of the oppressor that has oppressed you and will not let you go. And to our brothers and sisters who are around the world, it is to free you from the Eurocentric world order financially, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, and to put you on another path that is a sustainable path, because this path here is unsustainable, and the white world is telling you that themselves. Okay? And Muhammad says in number two, the truth is in favor of you and me. Now, why wouldn't you be happy to know that? That God is here. God is orchestrating all these events, and he's in control of these affairs. And the beneficiary of these affairs are you. Why would you not be happy? Why would you not want to come to your God through his last message? Now, I have to say this because some of us, we get lost in translation, because we get overwhelmed with events, with expectations. And when things don't happen our way, we get overcome by grief, by mourning, by I would say arrogance sometimes, because we believe that it should happen the way I think. I said it, okay? That's what we do. Not offering any facts to substantiate why we hold that position, but in the arrogance of our mind, we have taken on a Eurocentric mind. That's why I always tell you this. And this is the way they act. But we see today that God is orchestrating these affairs with America. Now, we're going to go into this. So, Russia had been, I would say, one of the main supporters of Syria for quite some time. And when America, Britain, and France concocted these lies up just to justify bombing Syria, because there's a lot of oil and there's a lot of gas and there's a lot of prestige and there's a lot of geopolitics at play here. So when Russia did not bomb in retaliation, the United States, Britain, and France, a lot of us, we got upset, we got mad, because we didn't understand what was going on. Behind closed doors, before America ever shot a bomb, a missile, or an arrow from her ships, her warplanes, or what so have you, America was behind closed doors begging Russia not to respond militarily. Not like what Trump is saying on the outpour. So you getting this bravado, this imperial bravado on the news. This is what America does. You hear what he says? All of our shiny missiles hit their target. When then Russia provided the information and said, what is he talking about? With old systems that date back to the 1960s that we supplied to Assad, knocked down 71 of the 103 missiles. And then Russia provided video proof. Yet Trump is a liar and the U.S. is a lie because they're not telling you what took place behind closed doors. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that this devil, this American devil, will continue with his bravado until Allah brings him to his knees. Now, a Russia did fire some shots. Let me tell you this. But they were not the shots that you thought that they were going to fight. Let me go to something real quick. Here. Here's the headline here. Now, mind you, this took place. Today is what? The 17th. Is that not right? It's been reported on the 17th, but it took place between the, I think, the 15th and the 16th. And the headlines is reads as such. Russia dumps U.S. debt, reducing holdings to the lowest level in a year. This would hurt America, the empire, and her lackeys more so than knocking down planes and knocking down missiles. You understand? So Russia did retaliate. And not only did she retaliate with that, she comes out with a new newscast saying this. Let me show you something. So you give me a second, okay? Because everything is not the way you may perceive it, okay? So I want to satisfy your mind to show you that Allah is causing these things. Listen to this. The name of this headline is Pushback. Russia has answers to possible swift cutoff debt sale banned by U.S. That means Russia has now enacted its Mir system. What is that? This is a direct attack on the U.S. dollar. Do you understand this? This is in conjunction with Union Pay of China. This is in conjunction with the Shanghai Gold Exchange. This is in conjunction with the Shanghai Oil Bourse. This is in conjunction with the Iranian Oil Bourse. Do you understand this? This is a well-thought-out, well-planned hit. America, there was an article that came out yesterday saying that America is suffering a death by a thousand cuts. I wonder where they got that headline from. If you go to the Hines 1555 blog, we had been talking about that all along, and that was one of our headlines. And then just so happened, Mr. Paul Craig Roberts comes out with the same headline that we had in the news over a year ago and talked about similar things that we talked about going on with America. I wonder where you get that from. I tell you what. We won't get the credit, but we're going to tell you the truth, and we won't charge you a penny for the truth. The truth is free. So, America is being assaulted. There has been a counter-assault against the hegemonic Western powers. What would you say? Listen to this. The pound is tied to the dollar, right? France doesn't even use the French franc anymore, but her colonies have this, and it has dived bottom out. So all of this is in conjunction with the attack on Syria. Now, okay, I have to lay this out to you to show you how God is bringing America and the Western world down so that you can understand that this has a direct bearing on you. Now, with that, Russia also pulled back on China's advice, to let the world see America belligerent, to let them see these declining powers trying their best and will lie, even in the face of all proof, will lie to attack and occupy other nations because of oil, because of geopolitics. And now the world is looking, right? The world is seeing America for who she is. Even they're calling her out. Matter of fact, let me go to something. I was going to play this later, but I just want you to hear. This is what the little nations are saying about America's actions, right? Pay close attention to this. This is a 5-minute clip. I hope it's playing on your end because I can't hear it. Hold on 1 second, brothers and sisters. We're having technical difficulties again with Blog Talk Radio, all right? But we can still talk about this. Just give me a second with you, okay? Please, brothers and sisters, we already knew that this would happen, okay? Because they would never let this show go without bothering. So, again, I'm going to play the clip to you. What they're doing is cutting the internet link I'm just going to say this. You notice how we have that on every show. They're cutting the internet links. So what we're going to try to do is reroute it to another hotspot or something like that so that we can try to get around it. But it may take a little bit before it goes through, okay? Just give me a second. Let me try to do this because I want you to hear what the world...
The Bolivian ambassador to the United Nations, indeed the man who called today's Security Council meeting. Let's talk to him. He's made the time to be with us. Hi, thank you for your time. Tell us more about your concerns, which led you to call that meeting.
Well, thank you very much. Our main concern is that due to the threats that the United States is imposing on this situation, and the threat to use force in a unilateral action, that goes against the United Nations Charter. Mm. And also we are concerned about the possibility of escalation, and that this could go out of control, and we might end up with a wider conflict than the one that's already been suffered in Syria.
And that's a serious concern. You think it is possible, yeah?
Well, I mean, we believe that the United Nations Charter and its principles should guide the resolution of any conflict or problem. The problem that we are facing is that the United States is willing to go against the Charter. And we believe that the UN system as a whole, not just the Security Council, but the UN system, should do its best in upholding the principles of the UN Charter. That's why we convened the meeting that we had today, and we just been informed that tomorrow we will have another open meeting regarding the threats that the United States has sent against not just Syria in this case, but against the whole UN system.
Your colleague, the US envoy to the UN, Nikki Haley, just a few days ago said that the, quote, Security Council has proved itself to be useless. What's your assessment of her comments on it?
Well, I think that the Security Council has a lot of problems. I think it has a lot of also challenges. We can talk about the need of reform of the Security Council. We can talk about the privilege that the permanent members of the Security Council have, that we think that we believe that that should be changed. But at this particular moment, I think the main challenge that the Security Council has is to unite and to create an independent mechanism in order to investigate the alleged chemical attacks. Mm. But even if that doesn't work, that doesn't allow the United States to take actions by its own. Mm. So whatever happens, if the United States takes a unilateral action, it will be a violation of international law. Mm. And the UN system should not, of course, accept that. And as I said, it will not be an attack against Syria, but also an attack against the whole United Nations system.
And as it stands tonight, your thoughts about the U.S. Defense Secretary saying that America has the right to carry out preemptive strikes against Assad's forces to defend its own troops. That's just a pretext to go in, is it?
It is a pretext. It is a pretext. And right now, we have what we have, the information we have from the United Nations is that there is no conclusive investigation on the chemical attack, first of all. Second, that the only body, the only organ in the international system that could approve the use of force is the Security Council. Mm. Before they do anything, they need to have an approval, an authorization by the Security Council. Otherwise, it is of course a violation of international law. The problem is that the United States believes and acts as it would be as it is above any law. They believe that they have their own rules, and it is not the case. And Bolivia, as member of Security Council, has a responsibility to represent the whole membership of the Council, 193 countries. Those 15 members in the Council represent the wider membership. Mm. And the first responsibility that we have is to uphold the purposes and the principles of the United Nations Charter. And any unilateral action goes against those purposes and principles.
Sasha Llorente, Bolivia's ambassador to the United Nations. Thank you.
So you heard that. So what does that have to do with prophecy? What does that have to do with you? This is the time that God would show what was under America's skirt. He would lift that skirt up and show the nations America's shame. This is what he's doing. America has embraced that I am exceptional and nobody else is. That's the talk of Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar. Look at what my hands have wrought. I am and there is none other. Is that not right? And these same thoughts, these same words is what brought kings and kingdoms to their knees. Right? And this is what we're looking at, a desperate kingdom falling. And so what Russia, by Russia pulling back, she got to expose this. America couldn't hide this. She is in opposition to the entire world, but there's the international community. When they say that, they're talking about the white world, which does not even comprise roughly a billion people. And it's France and England, the same corporates, the same colonial powers that have raped the nations of the earth, the same ones that bomb at will and exploit the resources of others, those nations. You see them in action again. What did the Bible say? That God will show you the man of sin, right? These events are exposing the man of sin so that you can see him in real time with your own eyes. Because they often trumpet the laws of the UN. And then when it doesn't go their way, it has used, it's lived past its purpose. We'll go outside. Well, what's the use of you having the UN if you're going to go outside of it when you don't get what you want? So, this man of sin is being revealed for the whole world to see. And nations are rejecting her, rejecting them. So remember, there's 15 members of the Security Council, 5 permanent members. And when they vote, there must be a unanimous with the 5 permanent members for this thing to go by, or there must be a majority of X amount of the entire thing to get certain laws out. But it can be vetoed by any one of the 5 members. I'm telling you this to say this. Now, you just heard one of the 15 members of the Security Council say that this was against international law and they went outside the UN Charter. So France comes up and says, well, since it was 3 permanent members, it's legal. Do you see what Muhammad says? They have retractable laws. See, this is the exposure to view. Whenever it benefits them, they obey the law. And whenever it hinders them, they retract it and throw it in the garbage. Is that not right? And then they want to hold you. The UN Security Council passes a law. You must be sanctioned. You must be this. They want to hold you to the fire. God is opening up your eyes and your ears and showing you this man of sin, showing you this wicked beast in real time. All praise is due to Allah. Now, that is to say, this. With that going on, America issued a warning because she sees what's going on. And this is what I'm trying to get to you, brothers and sisters. It's so much more than your corner. It's so much more than your block. It's so much more than what you have going on in your life. Do you understand that we are living in the change of worlds? We're at the crossroads of change. We're standing on the precipice of something new. And you are too preoccupied with foolishness to understand that these events are to free you and the black nation universally at all, in any cost, because God ordained it. You understand? And what's going on now, because they bombed it, there's disagreement all across Europe, right? The House of Commons is grilling war criminal Theresa May. And Macron, the one who talked down to black colonies, right, around his still black colonies, France still holds black colonies whether you want to accept it or not. down, went to their land and talked down to them after siphoning off their labor and their wealth and their brain power. I'm not going to give you nothing. I'm not, what do you say, I'm not Father Christmas. This white man is a beast, man. I'm telling y'all, y'all don't understand the depths of how wicked he is. So Europe is in turmoil and they're at each other's throat because they're seeing their international order. Not only is the political order being turned upside down because you have a desperate power swinging wildly trying to survive and trying to maintain her position. And you see the lackeys are holding on, doing whatever she says so that they can maintain their grip. All while this political thing is unraveling, we see an economic order unraveling. Without the money, you have no power. You understand? You can't finance your escapades globally. You can't finance your brutal police forces domestically. Right? You become on the level of your ex-slaves and your colonists, the ones that you ripped off all of their wealth and resources. You get a taste of that. Remember that parable? The rich man and Lazarus? Remember that? Well, America specifically, but the white world in general, are losing everything that they had acquired through deceit, through fraud, through murder, through robbery, through war. I'm telling you, it's all coming down. And the fear from this beast in America is unheard of. As a matter of fact, as China moved to validate and back up Russia, and both of them move to start pushing more yuan trade and more convertibility to gold on the Chinese oil trading the bourse. This is what Trump says. Trump tweets about Russia and China currency devaluation. This was a warning shot, says the Assistant Secretary of the Treasury. So he is scared. This is what this thing is about. He sees them pushing other nations away from the dollar. He sees these things. And so he is determined to keep the dollar at all costs, militarily. Because if he loses the dollar, he loses his one level of power to keep you suppressed and oppressed. You understand? Because his police forces would be underfunded. And all of these programs that he has to suppress you and to divide you will be unfunded. And then he will be on the level of his ex-slave. So he sees what's going on, and he sees the nations around the world moving against him. And he is willing to go to war, even with a nation that is able to destroy her with one stroke of the pen from the president, or one push of a button from the president of Russia could level America to the ground. But this is not what it's supposed to be about. God is going to destroy America. What he's using the other nations to do is to expose her and weaken her and bankrupt her. But God is going to destroy America. You ain't going to get around that. He said he would do that for her nearly destroying you and I. So all of this stuff you see going on, this is a desperate power. But America is now embracing her destiny. So Muhammad says, we fear the doom of America that is now cutting her to pieces. So what doom is that? He says the decline of a dollar. He says her gold was gone, her gold and silver, right? Her international standing was in decline, right? And the nations that flocked to her shores, read the fall of America, isn't it? The nations that flocked to her shores were now leaving her. And they no longer trusted her. And we're watching that in real time, right in front of us. So Muhammad says, we feel the doom of America that is now cutting her to pieces. The prophecy teaches us that her doom will come in one day. Death and mourning came in one day. One day means 1 year. Even after that, she shall utterly be burned with fire. Divine prophecy is that America will suffer isolation from the nations of the earth. What did that guy from Peru say? I think it was Peru, excuse me. No, Bolivia. Bolivia. He said that the nation saw America acting outside of international law. America believes that she is above any law. Go read your Bible for a description of a nation like that. Huh? and see what happened to them. And the Quran teaches us to travel in the land, right, and investigate these other nations who are mighty in power. See what happened to them when Allah got hold to them. This is what we're looking at today. America is in a stage of utter decline and total chaos. The entire system is imploding upon itself. And she's desperately trying to hold on. And even she goes before her Congress like she doesn't have a debt to pay. Again, brothers and sisters, do you understand what this devil is doing, how he's trying to present himself as the most exceptional, right, exceptional nation? You know what? I'm going to go to the meaning of exception, okay? The word exception. Give me a second. All right. The word exception, which is the root of exceptional, means, and it is a noun, it is a person or thing that is excluded from a general statement or does not follow a rule or rules do not apply to it or him or her, right? This is what the definition means. This is what I continue to tell you. The white man, even the lower class white people in America, France, and Britain, they believe, they'll say, when you talk about murder, oh, this guy's disgusting. And then when you confront them about their murderous habits, oh, that was back then. But their policy continues to murder and kill because it's a parasitic culture. It's a parasitic society. It's a parasitic nation or Western Hemisphere. It's a parasitic game that continues to latch on to host bodies and suck the life's blood out of them at all costs, right? Now, with that being known, and we know that the Western world is a culture of vultures that steals everything, right, at all costs. Now, if the Bible tells you, as thou hast done, so shall it be done unto thee, right? Or they talk about karma, or they talk about judgment. Now, America, Britain, France, and the European Union believe that they are the only people that are excluded from the laws of judgment, the laws of justice. They believe that they can bomb people with impunity, rob and occupy nations. Well, we're doing it for the good cause. Well, if you kill 6 people, you're a murderer, but we can kill 600 million people or 60,000 people for the good of 2 people, right? And that's just. This is what the white man thinks. That's his mind state. That is his money. If I do it, it's good. If you do it to defend yourself, then we're going to bum the hell out of you. How dare you attack our planes that are in your airspace illegally? How dare you defend yourself against our bombs dropping on your children? This is what, do you see the madness in their thinking? They believe that they are the exception to God's rule, the law that was laid at the foundation or the base of the creation of the universe. What goes around comes around. That law. They think that they can escape that. That's why America continues to say, I'm exceptional, meaning that I don't bend to the laws. I'm above those laws that God laid out because I too am a God myself. Right? That's Lucifer, isn't it? All praise is due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Listen to what these people say. This is the madness in them. This is God bringing out the madness in them. And if these situations would never have arisen or occurred, you would never be able to see or hear it for yourself. But in this day and time, the 60 to not exceed 70-year grace period, you're getting it all. You're getting it all. And right after they bombed Syria, right after they killed another brother in America, God laid siege to them with these storms, didn't he? But listen, I want you to listen to the madness, especially of this white American devil that thinks that he can kill, he can maim, he can bomb, he can rob, he can occupy, he can destroy, he can wage war. But it is all because I'm exceptional and you're not. Madness in their mind. This is what God has stricken them with. Derision. This is, they're drunk of imperial hubris. But listen closely to what they're saying, and you will see the madness just does not cease.
Donald Trump's new pick for America's top diplomat, Mike Pompeo, has gone through a required Senate grilling while outlining his view of U.S. foreign policy right now. Here's how he explained the difference between Russia and the U.S. and their roles on the world stage.
This is a unique, exceptional country. Russia is unique, but not exceptional.
Oh, there we are. Then we'll live to Samira Khan in Washington, D.C. She's been following that hearing for us. Nearly 5 hours of questions there. Do we have a clear sense of Pompeo's foreign policy vision at the end of it or not?
Well, yes, we do. And regime change was discussed at Mike Pompeo's confirmation hearing for the position of Secretary of State. And he was asked why it would be okay for the U.S. to adopt regime change as official policy, but not Russia, for example. And apparently it's because the U.S. is, quote, exceptional and Russia isn't. But it's not clear what this soft policy is exactly, considering Trump's tweets and recent sanctions imposed on Moscow just last week. And Pompeo seems to be proud of this, saying that the U.S. has expelled the most diplomats at any time since the Cold War. And he also said that he would make sure that the administration continues this policy.
I take a backseat to no one with my views of the threat that is presented to America from Russia. And if I am confirmed as the Secretary of State, I can assure you this administration will continue, as it has for the past 15 months, to take real actions to push back, to reset the deterrence relationship with respect to Russia.
And on other issues, Pompeo repeated the establishment line. But looking at his nomination through a wider lens, Trump also appointed Bush-era neocon John Bolton as his national security advisor. So it won't be too surprising if we see a more hawkish foreign policy from the U.S. in the future.
And you still agree that far from being a great public service, WikiLeaks is more of like a non-state actor hostile to the interest, the national interest and security of the United States.
Senator Rubio, I do believe that.
And I think you still agree that Vladimir Putin's government actively interfered in our presidential elections and elections at large in 2016.
Yes, Senator, that's correct.
Promoting democracy is in the vital national interests of the United States.
Yes, indeed, Senator, and our effectiveness at doing that is an important tool of American foreign policy.
Well, like I said, with the appointment of John Bolton as Trump's national security advisor and now Mike Pompeo as Secretary of State, not only will we see a hawkish foreign policy, but maybe a more aggressive stance towards Russia.
So, we talked about this exceptionalism. Again, let's look at another definition from another dictionary. It means forming an exception, a rare occurrence, better than average, superior to others, exceptional in skill, deviating from the norm, having above or below average intelligence, right, or above others. This is the mind state that they have. I'm exceptional, you not. Now, if this is their foreign policy, guess what it is domestically? The same thing, because the foreign policy mirrors the domestic policy. And the white man of America thinks that they're exceptional and above all others. That's why you hear him cheering and screaming for Trump, because they're talking about make America white again. Hell, America that predated the white man wasn't white. You came here and murdered off 80 million Indians. You killed off tens of millions of black people here in America, and you killed over 100 million in the Middle Passage, and you don't think you got a price to pay? Huh? Who the real terrorist? Who's the real bloodsucker? Who's the real illegal immigrant? Everywhere you've gone, you've never really been invited. You've come there and people befriended you because you didn't know what you were doing, and yet you took their friendship, their kindness for a weakness, and then you give them smallpox and blankets, right? You pretend that you're going to pay the black man in Africa more gold for his labor than he's getting at his home. And when you get him on his ships and go out to sea, the people come from under the deck with double-barrel shotguns and putting you in chains. This is madness. Is it? Who's the terrorist again? Talk back to your brother. Okay, let's look at it like this. Has North Korea ever used its nuclear weapons on anybody? Huh? Nope. Has any African nation ever used nuclear weapons? And believe it or not, there is an African nation that has nuclear weapons or had nuclear weapons, and I don't know if they fully dismantled, but they had them. South Africa had nuclear weapons, whether you knew that or not. But anyway, the African nations attack Europe with nuclear bombs or F-16s or MiG jets, huh? Is the African presence occupying Europe? Nope. What about America? Has Africa attacked America? Nope. Is South and Central America attacking America? Nope. But is America attacking Africa? Yes. America is attacking South and Central America? Yes. America is attacking Asia? Yes. And who used nuclear weapons again? It was America. And who used biological and chemical weapons again? It's America. Not only did she use them in foreign lands, what about the Tuskegee Airmen? And what about these other places in Oklahoma where they intentionally sprayed aerosol spray over these housing projects, infecting all these black people? And they've done that in many a town, right? So, again, who is guilty of weapons of mass destruction use? Again, not only did she bomb Japan once, she bombed it twice with atomic weapons. Then she bombed Afghanistan. You didn't know that. Cynthia McKinney said, I think she said it on my show, that it was used in Afghanistan. Not only was it used in Afghanistan, they used low-yield nuclear weapons in Libya. Did you know that? If you think I'm lying, you go contact Cynthia McKinney and see what she has to say about this. Former two-time Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney. Go see what she has to say about this. What about Iraq? Depleted uranium is considered a banned substance. Uranium is one of the core components in nuclear bombs. They are shooting at will and have been shooting and using depleted uranium in Iraq. And now they're doing it in Syria. They've done it in Yemen. They've done it in Libya. They've done it in all of the Horn of Africa. Who the hell is the terrorist now? Who is the one that uses chemical and biological and nuclear weapons now? Talk back to your brother, 347-989-0855. Let's have an honest discussion about these truths. Okay? America has embraced her deadly destiny, and the clock is ticking. She knows she don't have much time. What did the book say? And Satan would come down having great wrath, for she knows she has but a short time. This is what America is doing. She's in everybody's business. She's over in Vietnam, trying to turn Vietnam against Russia and China. She's over in Myanmar, trying to turn that against China. She's over on the Korean Peninsula, trying to turn that against China. She's trying to turn Japan against China, right? She's trying to turn the former Soviet Republic against Russia. She's over there dividing Africa. She's trying to overthrow the governments in South and Central America. Everywhere she's going, everywhere she's been, and everywhere she's at, she's causing nothing but trouble and hardship and disillusionment of the people, the nations, and the governments there. Who the hell want her presence there? When she's a snake, she leaves a crooked path and a nasty taste and smell whatsoever she slithers. Huh? Talk back to your brother. It's real. This real time. If you think what I'm saying is not the truth, disprove one word that I'm saying, and I stand on the sure foundation of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. This is real. So we're seeing this nation be unmasked. We're seeing her. And when you look at her domestic policy, her international policy, she has no, when she bombs people, she doesn't report it, or she barely report it. And notice how these so-called international organizations never call for America to remove her military presence there. But if Assad defends his people, which he should do because he's the elected president there, they are talking about torturing and bombing. If Putin says something, they're talking about being a dictator, even though all international polls recognize that Putin is the most popular leader in the world. And Xi follows him. Xi Jinping of China follows that. I think Putin has 83 to 87% approval rating. Now you put that up against any world leader around here and see who would be called a dictator. But this is America. If you look at her international policy, she has no regard to life. And most of the nations that she bombs, let me go back a minute. America and Europe are trying to start something called a European Missile Defense Shield, right? An anti-ballistic missile defense shield for America and Europe and her allies, right? Why would they do that? Africa doesn't have the missiles to reach them. Asia doesn't have it, only China and North Korea, right? And for a time, it wasn't nobody but China that had it. South and Central America don't have it. Why are they so adamant about putting up a ballistic missile defense shield over America and Europe? This is the self-accusing spirit. They have bombed everybody. They've occupied everybody and killed everybody. And they know the judgment is on their behind. And they're trying to protect themselves against the onslaught of that old saying, as thou hast done, so shall it be done unto thee. Right? This is what's going on. That's why she wants a European missile defense shield. That's why she wants an American or North American defense shield. She's trying to defend against threats that emanated from her fiascos and her foreign policies of imperial domination. That's all it is. So if you look at the international policy, it reflects back on her domestic policy and how she treats her ex-slaves. And the people are starting to wake up and say, dang, not only is she doing this here, if we take a closer look, this is how she treats her ex-slaves. They're calling her out. Iran called out. Russia's called out. China called out. North Korea called out. Many, many nations have called America out on how she has treated us and how she continues to treat us. As a matter of fact, you can go to Russia Today or Sputnik News and any other day, they might have some about that, about how they treat us. You see, this is the exposure that was promised. This is America being hated by the world. This is God setting the nations at variance against this beast. And she still believes that she's exceptional. I want you to listen to this 5-minute, 6-minute clip.
Peter Kuznick's professor of history at American University, thanks for your time. Well, what do you think about that? And according to Trump's nominee, seeking regime change is acceptable for the U.S., but not Russia because, quote, it's unique but not exceptional. If you can follow that line of explanation, what do you think about that?
I think Vladimir Putin took President Obama to task for his talk about American exceptionalism, and that's an important message. But that same line that we're hearing from Pompeo, we've been hearing from American leaders since about 1630. This is nothing new. Madeleine Albright was Secretary of State. She said that if we use force, it's because we're the United States. We're the indispensable nation. We stand taller and see farther into the future than other countries. You had Obama talking about us being the indispensable nation, Hillary Clinton. So this is really the air that Americans breathe, the assumption that we have the right to do whatever we want, wherever we want, because we're different than other countries.
With hindsight, do you think it's with hindsight and the lessons of history, do you think it's time to change that message somewhat?
Yeah, I think it's a different world. We're now in a multipolar world. The United States and Russia still have a couple thousand nuclear weapons pointed at each other on hair trigger alert. China's economy is booming. This is no longer the world of the early 1990s when the United States was a unipolar nation or claimed to be the unipolar nation, the world's hegemon. In the 1990s, Russia effectively rolled over under Yeltsin to American demands. Now Putin is standing up and asserting Russia's national security interests. And there are some people in the United States who just don't like that.
Well, more about what Pompeo to say at that hearing earlier on to see him into the job. He said that President Putin has not yet received the message over alleged meddling, indicating he supports more sanctions. Is it going to go that way, or is he going to try and mend relations? It seems like it'll be the former, not the latter, I guess.
Unfortunately, yes. The context you put it in before is the right one. It's not just Pompeo by himself. It's also John Bolton in an already hawkish cabinet. In the United States, there's a lot of concern about Trump. But people said at least he was surrounded by adults who were going to restrain his more dangerous, hawkish, reckless impulses. Well, now those people are gone. The Tillersons are gone. And McMaster and those folks. And now you've got the people around Trump who are going to egg him on, who are going to encourage him to lash out, to do irresponsible things. And the problem is it's a very dangerous situation. What everybody's talking about is the danger of a conflict between our two countries, the danger of a conflict that could escalate. Mm-hmm. And you've got...
Surely they're taking that into account, are they not, at that high level?
We hope so. And we know that there are some people who are taking that into account, and that both Trump and Macron and others have tried to walk back the threats that they're making. But the, once, as Kennedy and Khrushchev warned and learned during the Cuban Missile Crisis, once these crises develop, you no longer can control them. Kennedy and Khrushchev both lost control in 1962. And that's why Khrushchev wrote that great letter after, and he said, our countries have both felt the flames of thermonuclear war. Let's eliminate all conflicts between us that can lead to another crisis. We don't have that wisdom now, and certainly not in the White House.
A final thought. Pompeo also shared his view on in his Senate test on the Korea crisis, what to do there. He says he's ready to move past diplomacy to stop Pyongyang's nuclear program. What do you make of that ahead of this big planned historic meeting coming up?
I think that reinforces what John Bolton has been saying. Bolton called for a preemptive attack on North Korea. And, you know, Trump is kind of schizophrenic. One day he'll talk about fire and fury. The next day he'll talk about a hamburger summit that he wants to meet with Kim Jong-un. Right now, he's on the hamburger summit line of thinking. That's great for the world. So we don't want the Pompeos and the Boltons to push him off that line. The danger, of course, is if they do have the summit, which is probably unlikely, but let's say they do meet in May and nothing comes of it. What is the next step after that? So that's the danger, is that after Trump tries diplomacy, he can say, well, I tried diplomacy, but now we have no choice but to use force. And so you know, when you've got somebody that imbalanced, and all of these possible conflicts can turn into very dangerous situations.
Yeah, I mean, what is the feeling there amongst the American people? Do they think there is some sort of safety net behind the scenes there?
American people are very confused. Because the administration says one thing one day and it's opposite the next day. But not just one day to the next, 1 minute to the next. But I've been hearing some of the military people on television saying that we have to strike in Syria and that the real target is Russia. What they're saying is that an American strike on Syria will call Russia's bluff and will show that Russia is not as powerful and militarily significant in Syria as the Russians have been pretending to be. And that when Russia says that if the U.S. launches missiles in Syria, Russia's going to shoot them down, and then if Russia does not shoot them down, then you have the hawks in the United States being confirmed in their sense that Russia is not as strong as it professes.
On that note, we'll leave it for now. Peter Kuznick, Professor of History at American University. Thank you.
And this is what's going on. And this is how God is going to force them to fight each other. Because one will keep pushing. And keep pushing and keep pushing until the other one will not back down any further. And then that's when the line in the sand will be drawn and they will go head up. This is what's going on. This has been orchestrated. Now, for us to see that Allah is exposing America to be the terrorist nation, to be the worst nation on earth, to be the most evil, violent, wicked, and hypocritical nation on the planet, and maybe in the history of the planet. She threatens other nations. She threatens to bomb this nation and threatens to bomb that nation. And she just pops up in other people's territory and puts bases up there and then says, we're not leaving. Well, what would you do, black man and black woman, even if a brother come into your house with three or four of his friends and they set up shop and take your master bedroom, kick you and your wife out? Your children have to live on the other side of the house, and they dare you to come on that side of the house, or they will defend themselves against your belligerence. What will you do? You will use any means necessary to remove that loiterer or that robber or that thief or that criminal off your property. Is that not right? So America goes from nation to nation. This is God exposing her. And then the black man sitting here with his head tucked between his legs, he will get a good dose of that. This is why they're being beaten. This is why they're being killed. This is why they're being shown no mercy whatsoever, and you're crying out and you're marching and this and that. Listen, the devil is the devil is the devil is the devil. You understand me? And pleading with this devil for nearly 5 centuries hadn't made him change yet. But God is showing you that you're going to have to reject this devil and get with your own kind. This is the separation that God was talking about. This is the manifestation of that wicked man, that man of sin. And America goes around and talks about human rights when she's the greatest violator of human rights, and always talking about peace and security when, as Martin Luther King says, she's the greatest purveyor of violence on the planet, right? And then she threatens other nations, and then she, at the same time, she calls out one side of her mouth and says, they're in violation of the UN Charter. Now listen to this. According to the repertoire of the practice of the Security Council in the United Nations, according to Article 2, Verse 4, it prohibits the threat of or the use of force in international relations by nations. Any violator is considered an outlaw or rogue nation or criminal nation, black man and black woman. So, this Article 2 says the Charter prohibits the threat or use of force and calls on all members to respect the sovereignty, territorial integrity, and political independence of other states. Now, you tell me whether America has upheld any of that. Is she in Iraq? Is she in Syria uninvited? What about Ukraine? What about South Korea? What about Japan? What about all these other nations that she's in? Huh? And the other ones that she can't get in, she bombs them. Then she gets in them, like Libya. And then she threatens other nations. Is that not a violation of Article 2? And that means that she is a rogue nation, a criminal nation, right? In violation and a war criminal, according to the so-called organization that she founded. Is that not right? So she's been exposed, as Elijah Muhammad said she would be, for the entire world to see. And now you have small nations, medium nations, and large nations alike calling her out on her hypocrisy. Is that not right? And they're moving against her dollar because they see what's going on and why she's expending billions for her war machine at home. The situation is becoming explosive and untenable for the people because there's a great divide in rich and poor. There's a greater divide in black and white, in justice and injustice. So God now acts to alleviate the problem by destroying her means of making war, destroying her dollar. So the nations are trading outside of the currency of the dollar. The nations are now setting up their own international organizations, and this is putting pressure on the dollar, and this is putting pressure on the American businesses within home, and this is why there are job cuts here. This is why job pay is low. This is why there's a growing increase of homelessness. It keeps ticking upward, upward, upward. Unemployment, upward, upward, upward. Poverty, upward, upward, upward. In the land of milk and honey, yet no one has been able to suck milk or eat the blessings of the honey that was promised. Is that not right? She is in trouble. And now we're seeing an economic apocalypse taking place within America. And everywhere you go, you're seeing stores shutter. Stores that you never thought would close, Sears, Toys R Us, Macy's closing down stores, Kmart closing down. I remember when I was a child, everywhere you went, you saw Kmart. Kmart was the Walmart. They had Zayas, Kmart. All of those were the Walmarts back then. Because Woolco was closing down and all that stuff. Now, look around, you barely can see them. Remember what I told y'all on one show, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that the business in the end of America, first of all, we see a mad person in office. And America would lose more friends, and she would become more exposed. And within her own borders, there would be a great explosion in racial tensions and economic decline and businesses shuttering one after another. And what are we seeing today? Is his words not being fulfilled right in front of us? Huh? Talk back to your brother. Because if they're not, I want to know what planet you're living on. And we're looking at a decay, not a small or incremental decay as it once was. But everywhere you turn, everywhere you look, everywhere you smell, see, touch, hop, jump, or roll, you can see decline on the streets. You can see businesses shuttering. You can see houses abandoned. You can see homeless on the streets. Right? You can see that. Because this is America's portion for declining to give her ex-slave that do just. And so I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen to this right here, okay? This is 10 minutes. I might cut it off short because I want to play a few more clips. I want you to listen to this, what they're talking about, okay, about what's going on in retail and all of these defaults that are going on. And this does not bode well because think about this. If we're not even talking about banks, really. Look, banks. Think about if one medium-sized bank closed with 40 branches. They only say the Bank of Pensacola. Just throw that out. The Bank of Pensacola closed. That's what they'll put out to you. But they won't say that it had 45 branches and each branch had 20 employees. Right? They won't tell you that. So you'll lose it. If one bank or one business closed, how many branches and how many employees is that? You can go into the stores right now and the shelves are half empty, or they have to pull stuff from the back to make it look like the shelves are full. You see the incremental increase in prices, that's inflation. You're seeing that your dollar cannot go as far as it used to because it's declining in value, and inflation is picking up steam. This is the destruction of the American ability to wage war and to hold her slaves and oppress. She can't oppress us too much longer because God is ripping her of the levels of power to do that. And he's ripping these levels of power, and the whole world will benefit from the collapse of the dollar, from the collapse of America's infrastructure. She needs, what they say, she needs $25 trillion in infrastructure. They can't come up with that, but they can come up with $5 or $10 trillion for more deadly nuclear bombs. Right? America says we're cutting off health care. It's too expensive. You're going to have to pay high copay. We're going to cut off daycare. We're going to reduce student loans. Now, education is the base of any progressive society. So when you do that off rip, as they say on the street, you're shooting yourself in the foot. Off rip, that's happening. So you're helping to pull the empire down. Now, you don't have money for that. But, of course, you increase aid to $34, $38 billion for Israel. You cut $20 billion for the people here, and you add $38 billion for Israel. In a time where America is begging him, she's begging Paul to pay Peter. She's over there begging China, and when China don't give her what she wants, she throws a tantrum. I'm going to send my ships over there to provoke you. She begs Russia and the North African nations, those same nations that she's invading. They are the same ones who finance her. And then she goes over there and bombs and invades those nations, talking about on a terrorist mission. Hell, you the terrorist. This is what's going on. So now, the chickens are coming home to roost. Now, this is supposed to be, okay?
Welcome to the Silver Report Uncut. Now, we have some very dangerous signs going on in the retail sector. What we've seen is that for the retail companies that are rated by Moody's Investor Services, defaults, they happen to hit an all-time high in quarter one. Now, they had warned in advance that we were going to be seeing a number of high-value loans coming due in 2018, but there's been a total of 9 defaults among Moody's-rated retail corporates. Total corporate defaults in quarter one were up 22% from last year, and those 9 retailer defaults, there were about one-third of them. Now, if they're retailers that are large enough to be able to be rated by Moody's, these are not small companies. But in fact, it's corporations that are making up the core of this brick-and-mortar collapse. Some of the retail companies that defaulted during the first quarter would be Sears Holding, Claire's, Bon-Ton Stores, the company that holds Topps Markets, Charlotte Russe. Now, these are just the companies that have defaulted on their loans, and it doesn't mean that they're all going to be going into bankruptcy. But several of these corporations have already declared bankruptcy. What we've seen was that Sears, Claire's, Bon-Ton Stores, and interest rates have only just begun to rise. More significantly, the high number of defaults is showing that there's serious problems going on in the retail sector and the broad economy as a whole. For the second quarter, just last week, Nine West Holdings declared bankruptcy with about $1.6 billion in loans. The company owns a number of brands. It would be Nine West, Anne Klein, Gloria Vanderbilt, and Bandolino. And so Fitch Ratings came out with their 12-month institutional loan default rate of retailers, and it rose to 8.6%. That's $5.9 billion in loans that are now in default. Fitch continued, Our retail sector institutional term loan default rate forecast is 10%, equating to $7 billion of volume, which would surpass the 8.2% rate the sector set in 2017. Fitch anticipates more large retail chains to file bankruptcy this year. 10% of the retailers in Fitch's market index are listed on Fitch's top loans of concern list, indicating a material default risk. These retail chains include Neiman Marcus Group, Sears Holdings, Full Beauty Brands, David's Bridal, Tom's Shoes, Indra Holdings, Everest Holdings, Things Remembered, NYDJ Apparel, and Vince. But of course, Moody's is coming out and they're echoing the typical response from the mainstream media, which would be a shift toward online shopping or else a dramatically cold winter. Of course, winter's cold. That's whenever we see all these problems. But Moody's came out and said the rising level of retail defaults is, quote, reflecting the fallout of changing consumer behavior and advancing e-commerce for traditional brick-and-mortar retail, unquote. But Amazon is not entirely to blame because the big story is debt. And the simple fact is interest rates are beginning to rise. For a long time, they've been pumping out easy money through near zero interest rates. And what we've seen with Toys R Us bankruptcy, they just show us the fundamental problem that is going on with the underlying strength of the United States economy. Easy money has been printed by the Federal Reserve. The ability to borrow a lot of money at low interest rates, it fuels borrowing and speculation. It's shown us dramatic distortions underneath in the economy, and it's created bubbles. So over the last 20 years, the real problem is that the Fed has inflated and maintained a giant retail bubble. Yes, that's right. The entire retail sector has been in a bubble, and that bubble has begun to burst. As a result of increasing the interest rates just a little bit, what is known as zombie companies are all coming undone. And these are just not small companies holding a limited amount of retail space. They are massive companies. In some places, they are pretty much the anchor for industry in their entire city or town or township. It's eroding the tax base. All of that debt to rescue these corporations through the times of dangerous, uncertain weather is coming due. Bloomberg reported that $1.9 billion of high-yield retail borrowing is going to come due in 2018. And from 2019 to 2025, the debt coming due is going to balloon to an annual average of almost $5 billion. So $1.9 billion is causing such a dramatic increase in defaults. What are we going to do when there's an annual average of $5 billion coming due? They said the amount of retail debt considered risky is also rising. Over the past year, high-yield bonds outstanding gained 20% to $35 billion, and the industry's leveraged loans are up 15% to $152 billion. And even worse, it's going to hit a record $1 trillion in high-yield debt for all industries come due over the next 5 years, according to Moody's Investor Services. The surge in demand for refinancing is also likely to come just as credit markets tighten and become much less accommodating to distressed borrowers. So the problem is Americans are broke, and they have been for a long time. They've been tightening up their belt. They haven't been spending the way they used to be. So the problem is not just Amazon. They're not going to be able to escape this either, because we've also seen that household debt has surged to record levels for most United States households. And another problem we have, of course, interest rates are rising. Americans have maxed out their credit cards. In other words, the struggles that the retail sector is going over, it just shows what's going on in the underlying economy. We're not just leveraged, but we're over-leveraged, and interest rates are going to continue to rise. Another stunning data point, Chapter 11 bankruptcies in the United States have spiked 63% year over year for March to 770 filings. Now, this is also the highest number of bankruptcy filings, Chapter 11 bankruptcy filings, for any month since April 2011. And most of these companies were just trying to survive at this point. There were 789 filings. So just in March alone, there were 770 Chapter 11 bankruptcies filed in the United States. The year-over-year jump is 299 filings for March, and that's the second largest year-over-year jump of any month since the Great Recession. A company files for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection from its creditors in order just to try to restructure some of its debts. and normally involves a large reduction in debt and transfer of part or all of the ownership of the company from pre-bankruptcy owners or shareholders to creditors. Most often, shareholders lose everything. Some unsecured creditors also lose everything, and many creditors end up just getting a haircut. Retailer bankruptcies have been piling up in large numbers since 2016. A lot of them started out as Chapter 11 filings, but then some of them turned into liquidations, like we see what took place with Toys R Us. We are looking at a rapidly deteriorating credit environment going on for companies. They're just not able to survive. That's right. It is possible for the retail industry, the retail brick-and-mortar industry, to be encased in a bubble because they have been driven on by easy and cheap debt. All this borrowing has been going on just to be able to pump up this enormous bubble, and it is beginning to pop. It is going to be devastating fix for counties and cities all over the place. And the problem is, this is only the beginning. And that's not even to mention that according to the latest Mortgage Banker Association data, mortgage demand has been continuing to slide. Mortgage applications have also slumped another 1.9% week over week and 5.5% negative year over year. Initial purchase applications dropped 2%, but we've also seen another negative 1.7% drop in refinancing. That was a 4.9% drop just last week. I mean, this is pushing levels we haven't seen since Lehman Brothers. And yet they think the U.S. economy is booming so much that it's able to sustain interest rate rises at this point. No, the target was the all-time overvalued stock market bubble that they blew up. People just need to wake up. There's a significant amount of debt that is coming due, and you know what? The sales figures just aren't there. You can try to manipulate the stock market all you want. Print all this phony money, put it in there, make people believe you're doing well. You can buy back your own shares, but in the end of the day, the sales need to be there. These zombie companies are coming undone, and it's happening rather quickly. The problem is the economy is not strong. The lies they try to sell us all the time about low unemployment, things are doing well, businesses are doing well, banks are at less risk. It's only in bankruptcy court that we see how exposed some of these banks are to these risks, because it's going to continue to happen throughout the rest of the year. All right, thank you guys for joining us here with the Silver Report.
So you see what is being said. This man is opening up and exposing this beast and showing you how he lies so much, even when the doom is right on his heels. Listen to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says. We should know the truth of the seriousness of the time that we are now living in. The truth will save our lives if we believe it. This is why we're trying to get this truth over to you. And we're trying to force feed it, because the time is at hand to try to show you so that you can believe this. We're giving you facts. We're giving you statistics. We're showing you, we're going into the law and the UN. We're showing you these things so that you cannot rebuff or refute nothing that we say. So Muhammad says, we should know the truth of the seriousness of the times that we are now living in. The truth will save our lives if we believe it. Now listen to what he says. And this is something that black, brown, red, and yellow should pay close attention to. It. This is why America continues to thump her chest as though she's the military juggernaut still, and as though she's the economic juggernaut untouched by any. Muhammad says, America is at war with the darker people, brown, yellow, and every race regardless of color today. But she refuses to tell you the truth of this war that is now taking many lives. This is the hiding of the truth. What is she trying to get peace for? If these people's losses are as great as the radio and other news media state, the enemy would be on his knees begging for peace. It seems as if it is now vice versa. This is hiding the truth. Listen to what he says. America, Allah has said to me that America will not admit the truth of her losses until we see it on our heels. Isn't that what that white man just said on here? That she continues to lie. She won't admit the depths of her losses. But when you look at bankruptcy court and you look over here and you look up in these numbers here, you start getting the picture, because the math that they're giving you is fuzzy math. And now you get a chance to see that America's in utter decline and chaos. You understand? And she's fighting for her life. She is. And she can't do anything. So the man says, think, it's coming due. He kept saying that. I was listening to him very clear. He kept talking about that this thing is coming due, this financial crisis, this payback for her phony money economic policies is coming due. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gives us the reason of why it's coming due. Because she would never do what was incumbent upon her by the black people, and that was to give the so-called American Negro justice and a land to himself. If she stops short of that, she cannot be helped. So, according, listen closely, according to the definition, excuse me, of coming due, it says, to reach the date by which payment is required. Now, so now we're in a time, and again, let's go back to the 60 to not exceed 70-year grace period. Why is it coming due in this time? Why didn't it come due 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago, 80 years ago? Why is it just so happening to come due in the 60 to not exceed 70-year grace period? Talk back to me. Muhammad says that God had given her the extension to 60 to not exceed 70 years. And what did this white man just say? It's coming due. He didn't say 40 years down the line. He didn't say 80 years ago. He said it's coming due. Right? Now, you cannot dispute what I'm saying because I just played it for you. He said the situation is deteriorating. It has deteriorated, right? According to the definition of the word deteriorate, it means to become progressively worse. So, if things are coming due, that is, as thou hast done, so shall it be done unto thee, or karma, or judgment, right? Or what goes around comes around, coming due to America and the white world. This is why from America to Europe to Canada to Australia, their banks are in trouble. Their real estate markets are hiding things. And notice that this is affecting the white world mostly, right? And it is coming due, as the man said, the deterioration, meaning becoming progressively worse, in this time period of 60 to not exceed 70 years. Is that not right? You cannot dispute this because we're showing it. We're playing these things. We're letting you see, hear, and understand it. Okay? So, again, let me go back. The messenger says, Allah has said to me that America will not admit the truth of her losses until we see it on our heels. So she continues to say, oh, we added 60,000 jobs in the month of February, in the month of March. And we're putting 100,000 jobs. We're projecting 100,000 jobs this month. And then 4 months down the line, they backtrack. Why, you don't know it. They go back in the paper and say the projection was wrong. And then they half that amount. And then they don't tell you that the amount of jobs they added was low sector jobs. And the amount of jobs that they lost were high sector jobs. Right? So the high pay goes. The low pay comes in. So you have to work 3, 4, 5 jobs to try to make ends meet. She will not admit the truth of her losses until we see it on our heels. This is real, black man and black woman. You don't have to be mad at me about this. I just want you to understand the time. I want you to see the truth. That God is after America. As a matter of fact, it's 6 minutes to go. I'm going to play this clip right here. It's about 5 minutes. I'm going to try to cut it off shortly, but I want you to listen to this.
A lot of people think that, you know, it's just, that's just the way it is. People don't save these days. Well, look at Germany's personal savings ratio. This country here, over 10% in savings. And what's the U.S., you ask? Well, let's take a look at this. From Fred, you might know our good friend Fred. Got some good charts over there, of course. Personal savings rate. Currently, if my eyes are seeing correctly, just over 3%. And that actually dipped to about 2.5% just recently. So we're in that zone. And if it continues the way it is right here, based on this, you could see the dip that it did. It came up, went back down, it dipped up again, and it probably will head even further down if we have another crisis. People are so indebted today that they don't know what savings is. And I, in a way, I don't blame them, obviously, because of interest rates being so low. There's no reason to save, at least that's the way they think. Gaps between real DPI, debt, savings rates, and cost of living. Cost of living is something that I'm always thinking about. I don't look necessarily at PE ratios of stocks, and then I make videos about that and tell you why this one is a good investment, why now is the time to buy, buy some index funds, buy this particular stock, that one, short this one, that one. No, I'm talking about cost of living because that's important. That affects every single person. All right? And that's what we need to focus on. Income, savings, and debt, funded living standard. You can see that here. And on the right-hand side, income, savings, and debt no longer funding the basic living standard. How are people going to be able to prepare for the future if there is an unforeseen event? It could be something like a health issue. It could be some sort of natural event that takes place. And these things people aren't ready for, and that's when it hits them hardest. Look, even if an appliance in your home, maybe your furnace breaks down, and when does it break down? In the wintertime? No, it breaks down in the coldest month, in the coldest day of the year. When does your air conditioner break down? On the hottest day of the year. And you gotta now reach out into that pocket and hopefully pull out some money. But you don't have any because you don't have any savings. So you got to wait it out. And some places it gets really cold and other places it gets really, really hot. And you'll be wishing that you had some savings right at that moment. So I'll move on from there. The simple reason why 80% of Americans can't save money. I've covered this here before, something similar anyway. Essentially what we're looking at here is the top 20%. They're making a hell of a lot of money. They are making, the majority of all that money is going in there. They also pay almost all of the taxes too. That's definitely what we're seeing statistically. But ultimately, the average person, I'm talking about that, let's say the bottom 80, they can't make ends meet. They literally cannot make ends meet. You can see on the far right side, income needed by family of four to break even. And they don't break even. And that's what's happening. People just go further, 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 further into debt. And yeah, you can claim bankruptcy, but what kind of program is that? It's not, it's really silly. Now, I just wanted to touch on this.
I didn't want to cut the thing, but I wanted you to hear it in this context. This is what he said. The families in America are not breaking even. 80% of the families in America cannot afford to go to the doctor, cannot afford if a light bill or another bill was cut off. They could not afford at that moment to go and get something turned back on. Does that sound like a prosperous nation? Does that sound like a great beacon of light or an exceptional nation? Does that sound like a nation that the world should look up to? No. What that sounds like is a fallen and a felon power, an inept, corrupt, and ungovernable society that is declining by the hour. All right? This is what we're seeing. We're seeing the fall of America. This is real time. This is prophecy being fulfilled. This is why you see all of these things taking place. And most of you don't understand that why these things are taking place is because it is to take place in the 60 to not exceed 70 year grace period. And most of you are not aware of the time. You're not, you can look at time on your watch, but you're not conscious about time and how things must take place in different times. And without that insight, your moves could be detrimental to your security and the security of the lives of your family. Because we're in a time unlike any other time before. We're at the crossroads of change. We're at the end of an entire world and civilization of people. They will never come back again because they have proven themselves unworthy to be a part of the nation of the earth. They have proven this. Brothers and sisters, let me say something to you as I go off. Please go to the Hines 1555 blog and